and comments. Anybody have something?
I have a comment, but it's for the planning department.
Okay.
Received a notice in the mail that there was going to be a hearing examiner on July 25th at 1:30 p.m. on some minor fast-tracked amendments for the Kirkland Zoning Code, Municipal Code. And are these coming up before us? There are several things on this list that should.
Yes, you look at them before, and you decided not to hold a public hearing. The planning director held the public hearing today. It'll come back to you after the city council looks at it and takes final action for your final action.
Okay, thank you.
Any other council member reports or comments? Okay. And with that, any work program review items?
Not at this time.
All right, good. That leads us to requests from the audience. Anybody in the audience who would care to address us on any topic? Got a 5-minute limit, and we welcome anyone to come speak.
Well, I'm Joe Castleberry, and I'm the president of Northwest University, and I was invited by Bob Sternoff and some other folks to come tonight, and it seems like I've surprised you in coming, but at any rate, I'm delighted to be here, and I've been at Northwest now for 4 years, and I certainly would always accept any invitation to speak to the Houghton Community Council. We appreciate the council and its love for our neighborhood and the things that it does to preserve the peace and quiet of our neighborhood, and delighted to be here with you. As I said, I've been at Northwest for 4 years now. It was quite a learning curve for me to come here from my previous positions. I was living in Latin America for on and off for about 20 years, and then spent 5 years in Springfield, Missouri before coming here. A university president's a new job for me, and you can imagine it was quite a bit of things to learn. Of course, we've had some really good victories and had some boneheaded mistakes in the last 4 years, but at any rate, it's been the greatest privilege that I've had to move to Kirkland. I'm a runner, and I just love this city. It's such a great place to be and be outside, and such good neighbors, and we're delighted to be here. The presenting cause for me to come was some of the difficulties that we've had over the last perhaps 3 years, specifically with neighbors living on the northeast perimeter of the property there. One problem that has presented itself is that when we built our Health and Sciences Center, it is endemic to buildings to have noise. Buildings create noise. And that building has a very sophisticated HVAC system in it, which you need for scientific experiments and so forth. Unfortunately, it emits a not very loud but high-pitched noise. And we've been struggling to get that noise fixed. The neighbors hate it, and I understand why they hate it. It does come and go. Sometimes you go to listen to it and you can't hear it. Sometimes you can only hear it in a very narrow acoustical space. But at any rate, it does make that loud noise. It doesn't violate any city code or anything like that. But it is, I can understand why the neighbors don't like it. And so we've been working for the last 3 years to try to fix that noise in a way that is cost effective. And it's going to cost us about $40,000 to fix it, because we'll have to build a barrier on top of the roof that will keep that noise from going that direction and bothering the neighbors. So at any rate, we have made the decision to fix that noise. That will be happening very soon. And last year, we honestly didn't want to spend the money. It was a tight budget year. Everybody knows what's happened to the economy. It certainly has affected us, too. Although things turned after fall, and we managed to have a strong financial year, and we're ready to spend the money to fix the problem. So if anybody's complained to you about that, you have my assurance that we're going to get very serious about fixing that problem in short order. Another problem is the deterioration of the vegetative barrier between the football field that used to be used by the Seahawks and those neighbors. About a third of that vegetative buffer has been attenuated by the death of several trees. And so while it's supposed to be, by code, a thick vegetative buffer, there's about a third of it where it isn't so thick anymore. There's certainly trees on it still, but you can see light through it. That has been a matter of concern to the neighbors, and it also allows for a certain amount of trash, airborne trash, to find its way in there, in that buffer. So the neighbors have been upset that there's been some weed growth in there. There's occasionally trash that gets caught in there, and of course it has become thin. So we have increased our patrols of cleaning the trash up, and we have contracted with landscapers to replace the trees. That will happen in October. We would do it now, but it can't be done now because the trees would die. But if we wait to October, the trees will make it, and we've chosen medium-sized cedar shrubs that won't grow too tall. If we were to put big trees in there, they would soon create a light problem for the neighbors. Their backyards would be thrown into shadow, and we don't want to do that. So we've carefully chosen some mid-height cedar shrubs that will create a thick buffer, but not a tall one, and that should solve that problem. So I think that by next summer, when these things begin to be a problem, nobody worries about them as much in the winter, but as spring and summer comes, we should have those problems well on the way to being fixed. So another item that's maybe you haven't heard complaints about is that we sometimes have a little bit of noise leaching from the chapel building on Monday nights. There's a worship service that happens with students on Monday nights, and occasionally they get a little loud, and we have had noise leach out, and sometimes get complaints from those neighbors there on the south side of our campus. The president's wife, my wife, recently complained to the university about noise at night, and so she became one of the neighbors instead of one of the university folks. But when she complains, I listen pretty well. And we have remodeled the south wall of the chapel there and done some acoustic treatments to it so that we shouldn't have any more noise leaching out. I'd be surprised if you've heard any complaints about that. It isn't very often that it happens, but at any rate, we've addressed that problem. We want to be great neighbors to the people of Houghton. We certainly don't want to make people mad or get people upset. So I think that those complaints should calm down over the next few months as we solve these problems. And be happy to answer any questions that you may have. I would imagine some of you have heard one thing or the other about the situation up there, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
John?
Thank you very much for coming. It's nice to put a face to a name and hear the gentleman that we know runs the university over there. I'm a neighbor of yours. I live right up by it. It's an absolutely beautiful campus. We walk through there. It's a delight to live next to the school. I'm amazed wherever I go around town, all the way out to North Bend. I mean, they know that college campus or university campus now, so congratulations to you all. I've got a couple of questions. Let me start with the noise. So I understand what you're saying. This is something that's been going on for a while, and I know the neighbors have chatted with the people at the university about it. It does seem like the $40,000 bill to fix it. I understand the expense of that. I run a business. I know it would be very difficult to cough that up to fix a mitigation problem. You had mentioned that it's not really a code violation from the amount of noise. What you said about the frequency is spot on. High frequency is very directional. I guess tongue in cheek a little bit, you said you were getting serious about fixing it. So do you have a set timeline? The memo that I read said you're getting it rebid. I'd really like is if you can have a definite, by this winter we should have it fixed when the foliage is gone from the trees and a directional sound will be a more problem. Is it something that with budget constraints you really might have to put off to next year?
No, I don't.
Is there a real definitive answer we could get? So
Let me try a definitive answer, and if it's not good enough, push me further. I have set aside money in this budget year to fix that problem.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not...
In this budget year's
calendar?
It's going to happen.
Calendar year?
I fully expect it to happen during this budget year, which ends June 1st, May 30th.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't imagine it going past that date. I can't promise you that the solution we choose will fix it. But if it doesn't, we'll keep working on it.
Okay.
But we're certainly going to take expensive steps to fix it in short order.
Let me jump to the barrier issue. I'm really glad you're going through the thought process of not wanting to block people's lights and that sort of thing. And I do realize that the relationship with the neighbors is a bit estranged, and I really appreciate Bob Sternoff for helping to try and get things together. I just want to make sure that the neighbors that this landscape plan abuts are really on board in agreement with the approach that's being taken to fix something. I would hate for the university just to decide this is how we're going to fix it without input. I know there's some things that need to happen with the city in terms of that buffer requirement, but if conversation has not yet happened with the neighbors, I implore upon you, please set your pride aside and sit down with those neighbors and make sure that we've got an arm-in-arm solution, please. Okay?
I hear you.
Then, I haven't heard the chapel building comment before. I don't know that that's been here, but one that has been here, and since you're here, I'll ask you directly. We've heard an awful lot of discussion about the soccer practice back and forth. That has come before us. I know it goes, there's a hearing examiner issue pending. What can you enlighten us with on that?
I think you said exactly the thing. There's a hearing pending.
Okay.
So that hearing should resolve the matter, I would think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Those are my questions.
Sure hope that hearing will resolve the matter. We're certainly, we're going to obey the law. you could be sure of that.
Okay.
Any other? Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. And again, at any time that you have any questions about Northwest, I'd be delighted to come and speak with you.
Thank you very, very much for coming.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other audience members who'd like to speak to us? Come on up. And I should have asked President Castleberry, we asked you to give your name and address. That's the one thing I failed to do. So maybe you can...
22 111th Lane, Northeast.
Good. Okay. Let the record show.
Thank you. I'm Larry Totally. I'm one of the neighbors of Northwest University. Address 11201 Northeast 58th Place. And we do appreciate Mr. Castleberry identifying that they're going to fix the noise. It's been a number of years, and a lot of lack of communication about the status of it, and that's all we've asked for, is kind of fill us in. Hey, we're going to get a bid out, don't hear anything for 4 months, 6 months, 8 months. Similar to the landscape plan, we were told that we would be part of the landscape, they would review it with us. We haven't seen any of it yet, but yet they already put up a fence. The letter last night said they're looking to put up a screen on that fence. We're very concerned about security. If you block the view of that buffer and their security groups never come in, they never get out of their little trucks or whatever else and come down the buffer. And there's been kids down there drinking beer and other types of things, so we have to chase them out. We don't want to be there. Not all the garbage comes flying over the fence airborne. It's deposited there by others. The buffer in the letter from last night basically said they're out there cleaning it up. Well, there's been dead tree branches since last October's storms that went from green to now a very nice color of orange-brown out there. It's actually less noticeable at the orange-brown color because it's covered up by the weeds. So we would appreciate the being part of the landscaping plan, as we were promised and discussed with. What we wanted is some communication and an ongoing dialogue, so these issues don't get to this point out here. And on the soccer practices and such, yes, there is a hearing scheduled on August 18th, and we'll all be participating in that to understand when the university put in that the soccer field would be for the exclusive use of their intramural activities and their sports teams, what that really means, if that means high school students and Crossfire and others and lacrosse teams can come on in and play. Well, we all have to understand that through the hearing examiner process. So, appreciate it. Anything else? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the letter said they regularly pick up the garbage. Well, the garbage has still been out there by our corner property. We have a kids' fort down there. That's been out there for months. So it hasn't been very regular. Regular could mean once a year. And so it's not been very periodic, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Would anyone else care to address the council? Okay. With that, then, we'll move on to our Lakeview Neighborhood Plan update. Dennis?
So, you met with the Planning Commission at the last July 14th meeting and discussed many of the issues. We revised the plans accordingly. The documents, and I wanted to make sure that everyone has a copy of the most recent packet that we put together for both you and the Planning Commission on dated July 20th, and it should have been mailed, and hopefully you received that. Mm-hmm. So we went ahead and made those revisions, and where they're shown, as a result, we cleaned up the copies and then made the revisions that are shown in highlighted in yellow. And I apologize for the memo that was the staff memo that was sent out. I was looking at another copy. So for the record, and to help guide you through this discussion, we'll put the revisions up here and the accurate page numbers. In addition to that, John Kapler sent out offered some revisions to the design guidelines under the lighting section, and I sent those out to you via email today, and I put copies by your places. So with that, it's time for you to deliberate on your recommendation to City Council. There'll be a study session in September where you will have an opportunity to present your recommendation as well as Planning Commission. So with that, we'd like you to review or comment on any of the revisions and deliberate on your recommendation.
Okay. Thanks, Janice. Let's do it by exception. So let's just go through the modifications that were made as a result of our meeting with the Planning Commission and one by one if anybody has an issue with it, and then we can get into John's suggestions on the design guidelines. Mm-hmm. So on the revisions, is there any of these revisions that have been presented that you guys feel do not accurately reflect what we discussed and agreed to?
I think we should discuss the non-conforming density.
Okay, let's start with that.
I was under the impression that we were going to come up with some things to put in the zoning code that would help regulate this, and if we don't put anything into the zoning code and we just leave it for future code updates, I'm afraid nothing will get done.
Well, we can't change the zoning code right now, right?
No, but I'm saying this is going from what is written here, and it says that, in other words, it'll stay just the same, and then sometime in the far future it'll come before us maybe as a code amendment to change it.
Go ahead. Do you want to speak to it?
May I respond to that? What was recommended is that the policy be deleted, and that as part of the annual code amendments, the next version that will, and I'm not sure when that is, Paul, maybe you can help out on timing, but Eric Shields said that we would add that to the list and do some research on how we can clarify some of the language that's in the zoning code under Chapter 162, and we would bring that back before you as part of the annual code amendments.
And that chapter is the discussion of what is nonconforming, what triggers bringing it up
That's
to
right.
conformance.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some way to put some kind of note in here that said, underneath where it's currently zoned here, to be brought forward underneath the coding, municipal code?
What I would suggest is you highlight that in your transmittal memo to the City Council as an issue that you want to
okay, well, because I don't want to see this just disappear into forever.
What we're talking about is possibly coming up with some wording that would be used then throughout the whole city for making these kinds of mm-hmm. determinations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so then it necessarily wouldn't be in this neighborhood plan. It would be just part of the city's.
Right.
Right. And my only thought was I ended up agreeing with this being stricken, feeling that Chapter 162, again, provided the correct tools to allow the existing nonconformity to work. I had written in my notes that we had talked about leaving something in the neighborhood plan that would discuss something that this is recognized or this is a condition. And maybe I missed, Janice, that we decided not to do that. Maybe it's just a memory left over in my head and my
no,
chicken scratches
it's not.
Here. And the reason for that is when I started the process of working on the neighborhood plan, I found it very useful when remnants were left over from 15, 18 years ago when they did the plan as to why they did what they did to help guide us in the future. And something to the effect of understanding that there is non-conforming zoning, that we realize that this may exist as non-conforming. There's policies within the city to allow it to exist given certain conditions, something like that. So it's not just evaporated out of the code. We're looking at each other a little bit like, whoop, I forgot, whoop, you forgot, whoop, I forgot. So I honestly don't remember. I didn't scratch it off.
It could be that this is a different recommendation from you than the Planning Commission. So
yeah, it.
Do you have suggested? Do you have suggested language?
Yeah, I do. I'm not suggesting anything wrong. That's not. You're doing a great job. There's a lot of pieces here, and I'm just something in the back of my head is remembering that we were going to leave something here. Anyway, that's my thought.
I remember as John did. That's why I brought it up.
Okay. Well, if you all agree to that and you have suggested language to go back in here.
Well, first of all, if I could just ask everybody here, is it yes or no a good idea to leave verbiage in the neighborhood plan as to why the decisions were made that were made. So I got one nod.
That has been helpful, yes, because some
people
me
don't have full memory.
Okay, so with that said,
it's not changing the decision,
it's not changing
giving
the
decision,
background.
Right.
It's and that's different than the comp plan, but we found that very helpful. I found it helpful. Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, when the little snippets were left in there.
Okay, so are you talking about the policy that was in there on page 13? Are you suggesting not deleting it?
No. We're talking about L4.3, right?
Hmm.
The nonconforming issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it gets deleted, but I think something goes in here that just simply says it's recognized that there are some nonconforming issues. It was discussed in the plan, and you know, there's a mechanism to deal with them, and it's in a subsequent chapter of the zoning code. Something that simple.
So I'm thinking leaving that one sentence, I don't know, the policy, it does get a little tricky, but that sentence about between Lakeview Drive and Lake Washington, many parcels will develop, just having that acknowledged there and that it's going to be addressed but without saying how, it is kind of tough and vague because we're not establishing a policy other than this needs to be addressed.
Paul, you have that look on you like this is not a good idea.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what you really want to mm-hmm. say here, and if whether it's deleting the policy as such or coming up with different language.
No, I think we voted last time, mm-hmm. and a majority vote was to go ahead and strike the policy out, mm-hmm. so the policy is no longer here, as you've done, Janice, okay? I think the only comment would be, why did we do it this way?
It seems like you would just maybe want to take that sentence between Lakeview Drive and Washington, Lake Washington Boulevard, and put that up with L4.3, maybe. It says in the northern part, medium density residential is inappropriate, but then you're saying under previous zoning there was high density, so you're just sort of saying this is zone medium. Yeah, you're seeing some high density stuff because it used to be zoned that way, and something like that.
In the interest of time, because we could debate this, I think we all are in concurrence that it's a good idea, and it's just a question of how to accomplish it. Mm-hmm. And so, if we have that concurrence, can we maybe ask John to coordinate with Janice and coming up with some little modification that reflects it in the plan? You've got something that connects it. I mean, we could spend a lot of time on this. Hopefully, you guys could come up with something outside of the meeting time that would
accomplish it. Well, even if it's just references to where it's going to be taken care of. The change will be in the zoning code, miscellaneous code amendments, or something to where it's going to be changed so a person could look if they wanted.
It's not even a change, it's an interpretation. It's just assuring the interpretation is consistent. That was the whole thing that we had Eric Shields say, this is how I would interpret the situation. That was satisfactory to John, but the concern was whether that if it's subject to interpretation, if it could be worded in a little more concrete manner, that you would have more assurance, right? Isn't that essentially?
Well, no, I think I'm okay on the assurance side. What I'm after is almost a little history lesson, just why we did what we did. Because in 15 years, when they look through this again, they might ask, well, why did that happen that way? And we want to leave them hints as to why we did what we did. Yes, sir.
So I wasn't at your last meeting, but I understand the code amendments that you're talking about had to do with the definitions or defining the terms remodeling and casualty and maintenance.
Yeah.
Which is really a different kind of approach than trying to craft a policy for this particular area. So I think trying to marry a couple of different things here. So I wasn't there, so I'm just trying to interpret what you were thinking there. But that's my understanding, hearing from Janice and Eric. So, but I could be wrong. Chapter 162 of the zoning code, which has to do with those standards. Right?
I believe that is exactly what we agreed to, but I think that for John's wanting to have, and I don't think it's a bad idea to have that, there could be a reference in here. It could just say we used to have
a higher density zoning in that area, and now it's RM 3.6.
Yeah,
I think we were basically trying to reassure those people that have that density that they wouldn't have to hire an arsonist to burn down their house if they wanted to rebuild it.
Do you want to just put that
and
in
I'll put
plan?
That there on the record for the
okay,
record.
Okay, so we'll leave it to Elsie to
plow through the recorded.
So, Janice, I'm happy to work with you to whatever we need to do.
Okay,
I probably should
sure.
not take the lead on this with my current work schedule. It'd be like pulling teeth to get anything out of me that.
Well, we got till September.
I can work on some language. I can work on some language and send around an email.
Fine.
And I think you need to discuss this if you want. Email discussions, I think we want to avoid.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So mainly you're talking about adding some text about historically how the area has changed, meaning the RM 3.6 multifamily area. Is that it?
If we look at the paragraph on page 913, between Lake Washington Drive and Lake Washington, many parcels were developed under previous higher density, resulting in legal non-conforming development, period. Mm-hmm. Dealing with these properties are dealt with in a specific section of the zoning code. That's probably all it has to say.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
That work for everybody?
We can work on that.
That's probably all it has to say, because the constituents that live in that area that are really concerned about this don't want the unintended consequences of, oh gosh, which condo owner do we tell can't live here anymore? And I feel assured enough what they're afraid is going to happen is not going to happen, but this is their neighborhood plan, and I think it would help.
So what we would do is we come up with that, and then, of course, as part of the transmittal memo in the package, we run it by the chair of the Hilton Community Council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You guys trust me?
On this, probably.
No, thanks for that vote of confidence.
I think we can dare to.
No, okay. How far can I throw you?
All right.
I trust John.
Let's move on. Okay, size of retail floor area. Are we okay with what they've got?
What tell us the page.
Okay, I'm going through the revisions
right up,
one by one.
Right up here.
Okay.
Page 17, 21.
Okay, you're just progressing from there. Got it.
I've got one question.
Oh, John.
Skipping
so, Janice. Mm-hmm. We have tied this to a mixed use development. Mm-hmm. And I remember that we discussed this during the Joint Planning Commission meeting. Mm-hmm. Was there a consensus that if it happened to be office and retail, it could not be so big? Or does there have to be residential with it? And does the zoning code classify mixed use as having housing in it?
No, we didn't go into that level of detail, no.
Because I'm just concerned that the mixed use in my profession mm-hmm. always considers housing with it.
Yeah. Not necessarily. Yeah.
And the code's really clear that it doesn't have, it's just two uses.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just mixed use is not necessarily including houses. Yeah.
And you can also look at page 63 of your packet that actually shows the YBD zoning. And there's other revisions that were made there, too, that relate to that policy.
I'm cool. Thank you.
So are we okay with...
I'm okay with that one.
I would say, Janice, that on page 17, slice 21, that where it says the limited size to less than 15,000, I think you should probably add square feet.
Good point.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, because square meters would be a lot bigger,
yes.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or it could be 15,000 acres.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Stories.
Square feet.
Are we good with that? Okay. Okay, so with that, we can move on.
263.
Okay. Building height, we're good with that. That's we've done that. Front yard setbacks. Okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sidewalk widths. Same thing. Okay.
We decided 10 foot on Northrop Way too.
Yep.
Even though, yeah, I think we did.
I think we did. Yeah. Yeah. This is your chance. If you think it's otherwise, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Okay. No, we did. That's what this changes.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought we did.
All right. Upper story setbacks.
Please help me find where I am.
Where do I? 95.
I think I missed something.
I don't see where we just were.
You have the page for that upper story
setbacks. We made 63, changes.
What page?
65.
Let's see.
63. I just saw it.
I remember
we made
seeing
changes
it.
To the zoning.
In 63, it's
So look at page 63, yep. And there's an up. There's a general regulation. Sorry, I forgot to put that up there. We added a general regulation that is the same as the transit-oriented development that requires an upper story setback for all floors above the second story within 400 feet of the property line abutting Northeast 38th Street. So it puts a prescriptive
40 feet.
Yeah, it puts a prescriptive amount of setback above the second story.
So within 40 feet of the property line, that's 40 feet deep. So you've got your 10-foot sidewalk, right, and then you're right up.
Would be measured from the property line.
Not the sidewalk.
Not the sidewalk.
Okay, so from the front of the building.
Property line.
Property line. And that's going to be on the sidewalk, possibly.
No, it's going to be on the landward side of the sidewalk.
Right. Yeah, the land. Yeah, but supposedly the facade can come up to this sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then 40 feet back from that. That's what I'm not quite understanding, because we're talking about the
third floor has to be set back above the first two floors.
Yes.
Third floor, and the third floor will be 40 feet behind. It's the 40 feet that's throwing me. Within 40 feet up or back?
It says the upper story setback for all floors above the second story within 40 feet of the property line abutting 38th place shall average 15 feet. So there'll be a 15-foot step back for all sections of the building within 40 feet of the property line along Northeast 38th.
Okay. So if it's a really big mixed-use development and it goes 80 feet back, then that 40, after you got that 40, then we still are stepping back or not. Then we can just go straight up. The following five floors,
yes.
Or three floors? Okay.
Right.
That's what that means. Okay.
And this is the same as what's in the transit-oriented development.
It's in YBD1.
YBD1.
Okay.
There's a couple of typos there.
Yes.
Those, there and refert.
Yeah, right.
Okay, thank you.
And purposes instead of purposed.
Oh, boy, I need to do my spell check, didn't I? Thank you.
So with that, are we okay with the upper story setbacks? Okay, moving on. Discouraging parking areas along the streets. How do we like what they've done with that?
Although I'm actually torn with it, I understand
Rick,
everything.
I'm trying to follow what's up there and what you're saying and find the page number. If you can just...
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not finding page numbers to refer to either, and the memo doesn't refer to it. So it says see attachment 4M.
All right, let me find that.
Try to get there to remind
There's 4A.
Yeah, just go by attachments.
That's on page 85.
85 it is.
So this states it would be an amendment to Chapter 105, along with in YBD and North Rose Hill Business District, parking areas shall not be located between the street and the building unless no other feasible alternative exists on the subject property. And then, And then there's also some changes to the design guidelines that also refer to that.
Can I ask a question? I probably could ask this of John or Rick, either one of them, but why should there ever be a parking problem unless you set the building before you figure out where the parking's going to be? I mean, when the architect's doing it, aren't they saying, okay, building's going to go here, parking's going to go here?
Right.
That's when you tell them, listen, buddy, the parking doesn't go here. It goes in the back or it goes underneath. I don't see why there should be a feasibility for them to have any parking on the street or on the...
Well, there's a lot of
facing.
Things. There's a lot of things to consider in the site planning, and
that's the whole intent of this standard, is to do that, Elsie, is to make sure that happens.
Okay. And then if you want to look at the guidelines, too, I'll show you where that is.
That would be the next step. So you good with what attachment 4M provide?
Mm-hmm.
We're good with that?
Well, I do have a question while we're flipping. Maybe if either of you two could answer a general question for me. When defining a streetscape and getting a sense of enclosure which needs a certain amount of compactness and lots of visual acuity going on, why was it determined in the first place to not have street parking there, which kind of adds...
On which street, 38th?
Yeah, which kind of adds the layer of that sort of stuff on those
street
kinds of streets.
Street parking is encouraged on the Northeast 38th Place.
Okay, it is.
Mm-hmm.
All we're talking about here is between the...
You're talking about the surface parking.
Between the building and the property line.
Yes, again. And we've made that...
You don't want parking lots right along the street.
We've made it as strict as possible by putting it in Section 105, in YBD zoning. It allows a zero front setback. Then you go to the design guidelines on page... let's see, on page 108, excuse me, 109, it talks about surface parking lots are discouraged where they are provided.
Yep.
Locate parking to the side or rear of buildings so it is not between a building and the sidewalk. And then there's also a section about... parking structures are preferred over parking lots. Let's see here.
And we covered in the guidelines about camouflaging the structures from the streets, so that's taken care of. Okay.
Right. The next page, 110, that was already in there. That was already in the guidelines.
Right.
Structured parking garages are preferred over surface parking lots. Locate parking structures so they are not visible from the street edge and from the street or sidewalks, and etc. So, is that satisfactory?
I'm great with that.
We good with it? Yeah. Okay. PR zones. Rezoning RM to PR. We've got that resolved.
13, 17.
Good with it?
Yep.
Nobody put... Okay. The small retail restaurant tavern limitations. Maintain the proposed restrictions on Lakeview Drive. Attachment 4E. Is that what we thought?
Yep. Hold it.
Okay, I'm holding.
Yep.
Is that 71 we're supposed to be looking at?
It'll be page 60, I believe.
Yes, that's the zoning for RM, or PR.
You guys see the little insert? Mm-hmm. And does that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's okay with that?
I am. I don't know everybody down here.
Okay. All right. Then with that, we are on to signs. Anybody have And where is this?
The signs are prohibiting. That's in the draft regulation or the draft plan on page 17. That's on page 17 of the packet.
Okay.
It talks about the term cabinet signs are crossed out, and internally lit signs are not located along Lakeview Drive.
Okay.
And then also there's a zoning code amendment to the sign chapter, which I will find that here in a minute. That is on page 83 of your packet. It designates Lakeview Drive as a designated corridor that does not allow electrical signs. And that would include internally lit signs. And that would apply to office and, office uses as well, yeah.
And retail?
Yeah. Well, retail, if it fronts on Lakeview Drive, it's not allowed, so...
Did we discuss that the lights are going to hit on 60th Street to the apartments across the street there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we decided not to do anything about it, right?
Which lights?
From the little businesses that we're going to allow on 60th in Lakeview.
Well, doesn't this... Yeah, I guess I was thinking that was for that whole...
But it's not. This just says for Lakeview Drive.
I think, Janice, we just ended up preventing lights going east across Lakeview Drive.
Right.
We did not prevent lights going north across 60th.
Where all the apartments are and those people live. Mm-hmm. Can't we just add that? Sure, we can. At this point, we can add something.
No, if you want,
we can. If you want to try to convince us of the merit of your argument.
Well, you live in an apartment across the street. There, you want one of those lights blinking over there when you want to lay down on your couch.
Well, they can't have a blinking light anyway.
Right. They can't have a blinking light, and there's hours on it. It has to be turned off by 11 or 1 or something. Didn't we discuss there were hours on it?
No.
We need to discuss it. So the most egregious sign that they could have would be, what's an example?
You mean like the fire station sign that's not supposed to have all the advertisement on it all the time that now they always do?
It's not construction.
That sign?
That sign.
Well, let me take a look at the proposed zoning for the zone, which wasn't changed for that other than... The Lakeview, let's see, that is on...
I don't see why it just can't say 60th Street and Lakeview Drive. That would be easy to fix.
Well, we did discuss that businesses need to advertise to pull people off of Lake Street, you know, down there. So
yes, but when you live in an apartment across the street there, or condos too, who wants to see those lights unless you can turn them off at a certain time of night?
Well, would the lights only be on the first floor, do you think?
It would be the standard sign category E, so that's based on 30 square feet of sign. There wouldn't be any limitation on lighting on that street, unless you want to recommend that.
Are there other places... that have that sort of lighting, that have that kind of sign in residential area across from apartments? Is that, I guess, people live in downtown.
Right now in the PR zone, what the lots to the south and along Lake Washington Boulevard, those are zoned PR. And for office uses, currently, I don't have that page here. Yeah, I don't recall Okay. You know, I can't think of another area of the city, but...
Well, definitely across 60th Street is residential.
Right.
It is apartments and condos.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, but it'd be very rude of us not to make sure that those people don't have to suffer with lights blinking or flashing or just looking. Somebody wants, even, I don't care if it's just the main floor people that would be suffering. I don't think they should.
I'm trying to remember if there's even windows on that side of the
apartment. Yes, there are. All kinds of windows.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Speak up, John.
There are all kinds of windows on that.
Are there? Okay.
There are.
Yeah, I mean, how would you like to live in one of those apartments, find out there's a little business across the street with a beer sign that goes, dingy, 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 dingy.
We can't have, we don't have blinking signs.
Well, even if it's plain.
Except the fire station.
Except for the fire station.
Right. I think that's easy to fix, guys. All we have to do is say internally lit signs are not located along Lakeview Drive or 60th Street.
You know, I think you have a good point, Elsie. I do think the other side of the argument is we are talking about trying to pull people over there, and how do you pull people over there to use those businesses if people don't know they're there? So maybe there's some kind of compromise on... The lights go out at a certain
time.
Well,
that's fine with me too. I think
they're only on the first floor.
Those little businesses are open till 11 o'clock at night, and somebody wants to go to bed at 9. I don't think we should have lights flying in their room.
The lights won't be flying.
If we can, are there any limits on how late lights can be left on?
No.
There's. Other ways to they can put little signs out in front of their businesses that face the lake. You know, that's where the people are going to be coming from. They're not going to be driving. Very few people are going to be driving down that side street, except for those people that live there. Anyway, I know. I can see Rick's face. We don't want to be here all night.
Well,
but I think this is important. How would you like to own an apartment over there and have the light?
Well, I think this is important too. I'm digging to see if I made a note somewhere about this, because I'm not finding it.
Well, I thought we mentioned it once, probably way back 2 years ago.
Janice, nothing is hitting your memory bell on this one?
Not about timing.
Yeah.
Timing for businesses. We've had this proposed zoning for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been anything about timing.
And we had no...
That can
we,
be a challenge to enforce as well.
There's been no
one,
public
one
comment.
One thought might I be, and I don't know the implications of it yet, but one thought is to put a lower sign category, like a sign category D that's similar to office, that would
what is
be
that?
A reduced size, but it wouldn't prohibit... internally lit unless you say no internally lit signs on Northeast 60.
So it'd be creating a new sign category?
No.
Sort of? No.
No.
No, you're just expanding the area that's prohibited.
You could have it as a designated corridor as well.
What? Sign category B or
D
would be the category we already have. So you're not creating a new category. For office, but you have the same standards for any type of commercial use.
But that would still outlaw the internally lit ones, but it would be smaller than 30 feet, is what you're saying?
No, unless if you don't want internally lit signs
right.
along Northeast 60th
for
office use or retail, then you need to specify it.
Okay. So we're saying maybe we would have them, but they could be smaller in size. And that's what your
category.
You look up sign category D.
Yeah.
So what size would that be?
She's looking it up.
Oh, sorry.
So it's the same size, 30 square feet, but it doesn't prohibit, a sign category D would allow internally lit signs unless you specify it as not through making it a designated corridor. Like other designated corridors are Market Street, well, you can see in the proposed amendment, Market Street between Central Way and Northeast 106th. Now, down in Lakeview, Lake Washington Boulevard and Lake Street South between Northeast 38th Street and 3rd Avenue South are designated corridors. So you could add Northeast 60th.
And that allows no signs or?
No.
Illuminated.
No electrical signs.
No electrical.
Which includes internally lit.
But I think the other issue here is that we're dealing with different zones east to west across Lake Street, or across Lakeview Street, and the same zones across 60th. That's the same zone.
No, it's not. No.
The whole triangular area would become PR.
Right. It's all the same zone.
It's all the same.
But across 60th Street, it's multifamily and condo.
On the north.
What's
on the north
built,
side.
It's the same zone. It's just built out differently.
No, it's not the same zone. It's RM 3.6.
That's RM there, and it's PR across the street.
Yes, to the south.
Yeah.
Or it would be.
All right. I would be perfectly happy if this just said internally lit signs are not located along Lakeview Drive and 60th Street. What do you guys think of that? I mean, I don't think it's fair to those people in the condos and the apartments.
You know, I guess I can envision non-obtrusive little signs, like if it's a little cafe and it has an open sign or it has
A
sign. But then you can also envision really egregious signs, and so
the amount of sign area you can have is based on the linear frontage of your property, and at a minimum, well, let me just set back. Each use is allowed 30 square feet. For an office or retail use is allowed 30 square feet of sign area, and then in addition to that, it's based on the linear frontage of the property, and there's a chart we use in Chapter 100.
I'm actually sitting here, Janice, a little flat-footed in that I cannot believe this has escaped our radar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we just all had so much to do here that we just assumed that it was all. This was going to be taken care of here without.
I don't think I assumed that.
That we were really conscious about what was going on Lakeview Drive.
Right.
And then I think that on 60th, we were just sort of thinking, well, it's. Apartments
people.
And.
Paul, do you see any good reason not to include 60th in the same prohibition on the electrical signs?
You're changing the zoning to a more intensive use. You're trying to minimize impacts. There are certain impacts that come along with commercial uses, obviously. But if you want to minimize them, then you can put restrictions on those if you want.
So you're saying that would support the argument to prohibit the electrical signs on 60th.
Yeah, if you think would be an impact on the neighbors and not have a benefit.
Okay.
So LC to the commercial zone.
Yeah, why don't you make that motion?
All right. I'd like to. I move that we include underneath. Where are we?
Actually, we can just do a straw poll, because what we're going to do is we're going to approve this whole thing. We're going to recommend the whole thing, and you can just say at the end that we'll make it subject to that change.
All right, great.
Assuming that's the only one, but you just remember that, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You guys good with that?
Sure.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, can I have a question?
Yes.
Where are you suggesting this change be made, in the zoning and the plan?
Yes.
Okay.
It would need to be hit both places for it not to get lost. So I'm on page 13 of 17 at the very top of the page, item C.
C. Mm-hmm.
Just add along Lakeview Drive and 60th. And then we're on page 60.
So chapter 100 as well? Have 60th be a designated corridor?
Where's that, Janice?
What's the page reference?
Okay. Page 83.
So where it says D, Lakeview Drive, we would go E 60th, or would we say Lakeview Drive and 60th?
And 60th?
And 60th.
Mm-hmm.
Northeast 60th Street.
Okay, we good with that?
Yep.
Let's move
Thank
on.
Thank you, Elsie.
Lakeview Drive. I can't think of any place on 60th that would not be.
Okay, how about the.
Just thinking 60th is not there.
Yeah.
The modifications on retaining the character of structures on the two lots north of Kidd Valley.
We already did that, didn't we?
No, I'm just taking it one by one, going down this by exception.
I thought you already asked us that. Okay.
Nope.
And I do have just a question
on please. That.
The new street on the new on street parking. That is allowed to be developed and counted towards their parking. Is that done anywhere else in the city?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Does that cause any legal problem?
I don't know.
I think Public Works has a concern.
I don't think it does. I think there was a lawsuit years ago to make this what it is right now.
Okay. Everybody, I'm talking on page 13, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Very last sentence.
The operative word is may as well. I mean, there's still a may in there, so.
Very good, yeah. I think that's the only way it would financially work.
Unless so. It's a pot shop.
Are we okay with it?
Oh, yeah.
Going once, going twice.
Okay.
Okay, good. Parking. We kind of moved ahead of ourselves there. The parking is next. So PLA 3C, floor area ratio, increase FAR to 60% of all the structures on site have a pitched roof, if not 50%. Attachment 4J. Are you okay with that?
You know, I'm for the floor area ratio. I guess I don't remember the 60% discussion. I do remember the 50% discussion.
I remember 50%.
We changed it to 60. I remember that.
Okay.
With the pitched roof. I do remember the discussion.
What page are we on?
I remember people talking about it. I just remember us discussing it. But, okay. I can live with it. Because I want to start getting smaller houses.
You good?
And this only hits for the small lot stuff?
For the planned area 3C zone.
Okay.
Yes, if for lots less than 7,200 square feet.
Yeah, I suppose my question wasn't very clear, was it? It's only for the lots that are underneath the zoning classification.
For PL.
It's not for the entire zone. So if somebody has a 7,200 square foot lot,
less
there is no floor area ratio.
Because
I don't like floor area ratios.
Right.
They're used to try and regulate good design. It's feeding the elephant to the wrong end. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and if you
have
want,
ugly small boxes.
If you want to look at this zoning again.
I will submit and roll along with this one just with it's only for the smaller lots under the zoning classification.
That's the way it's set
That's
up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this has absolutely nothing to do with the small lot area ratio and the rest of Lakeview, right?
No.
Mm-hmm. Good. Just double checking.
Mm-hmm. It's good to double check.
Mm-hmm. So we're good with it? Okay.
I can't even find my pages.
And the inconsistencies that were addressed between the Central Houghton and the Lakeview plan text, these next four items seem good to me.
These are throughout the plan.
It's
just written in the front.
Look at the verbiage on page 3 of our packet. Okay. All we're doing is making sure that everything reads the same in both plans, that we're consistent.
I don't see why that's even necessary. They're two separate plans. But that's fine. I won't argue. I mean,
well, on things like this, you know, pesticide use and wildlife sanctuaries and mobility I just makes sense to have consistency.
I've got a question on the first thing. Somebody asked me the other day, and I didn't have the answer to this, this discussion about the old street names being named and renumbered first, second, third, fourth. Is there any place, should someone have the inclination to go and find out what the old names were? Is there a place they can go to find out where they are?
Kirkland they just come down to the city Society? And ask?
Or? Historical yeah. Society.
Heritage Society.
Heritage okay. Society.
All right.
They've got cool old maps that have
and,
them.
And they're in the old women's building? Or
no, at the no. Heritage Hall.
In the Heritage Hall.
At Heritage
oh,
Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I'll send them there.
Good with the inconsistencies? Yeah. Corrections.
We're consistent with the inconsistencies?
Okay.
We don't agree about the next
and
one.
And then let's talk about, well, okay, I guess they probably want us to affirm, I'm guessing Janice threw this in, to make sure that we affirm that we are standing pat on the one area of difference we had between us and the Planning Commission on the street trees, the views.
This is only about parks.
Yeah.
It's only about well, parks.
Well.
That parks
again,
should
I,
keep wide, expansive views of Lake Washington for you.
And I will be the lone voice in the wilderness screaming that the reason that the Houghton Slope is so nice is because of the views, and I love trees. We really do need to, however, think about protecting and maintaining the view that we have that is very special.
Well, that's what this does, right?
And I will continue to be the lone voice saying that part of that view is that it has trees in it.
Oh, absolutely agree.
Right.
Absolutely agree.
This is only talking
all right,
about
we're
the
right.
Whole
absolutely agree.
Done that.
The operative word being part. I think mountains and lake is the other part.
Okay.
So,
We already, unless we've had a complete change, we had this vote, and I think it was
yes.
Laura was the
water,
one.
Water
Laura was the one
bridge.
That.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're gonna.
So we're affirming that.
We're saving the view.
Holding our position
Lake
on that.
Washington Boulevard, so you can see the lake.
Sorry, Laura.
Hey, no that's, apologies necessary.
Okay.
It's good to have some differences of opinion.
That's right.
Then.
Yeah,
it keeps us worth being here.
Okay. And now, John has presented some Yarrow Bay Business District Design Guideline discussion items for us.
In a nutshell, do you want to?
Do we have a page?
Yeah, Janice. So nicely slip one on everybody's desk. Janice, thank you very much for shepherding this for me. Public apology is in order to you for not having this to you so you could have incorporated into your plan so you would look nice and professional. This was completely my doing, not Janice's.
So that's where the sentences that don't make any sense you'll explain so that we can make sense out of them?
Some of the yes, sentences, sure.
As in this would be up and down lighting?
Up and down lighting.
Whatever.
Yeah, up lighting. And down lighting is it should be read, not and, up and down.
And there is without the lighting source being seen, which I'm still trying to figure out what that means.
Okay, so
the fixture. The fixture
yeah,
is not
so
visible.
The,
you just see the light, not the fixture.
Sentence just doesn't, there is without the lighting source being seen. That's the sentence. I can't make sense of it. Please tell me what that actually
means. Oh, yeah.
We need either an antecedent or an extra or something in there.
Something there, yep.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right?
What is with... What? Yeah, it's just I don't even want to try. Tell us what you mean, and that'll make sense.
So in most cases, you don't want to actually see the light source. You don't want to see the light.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So that's essentially what I'm trying to get after.
Yes.
And in the document that we read before, the glare, I think, tried to get after the same thing. In the lighting world, they're two different things. In some cases, you do want to see the light source. Like if you have a coach light hanging on a building or a lamp light, something like that, you want to see the light source, but not as a bright light bulb that
right.
is glaring
something
at your
nice
face,
and
a diffuse,
right.
soft,
yes.
to create ambiance. Mm-hmm. Okay? The very rare instances where you do want a very bright, high-intensity light source is to light up a parking lot so it feels safe when we all walk out to our car. But we don't want light to spill to neighboring properties, so the parabolic lens on the light needs to be shaped in such a way that you don't see it unless you're right underneath it, and it pools
and shielded
light out without,
on the sides.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's essentially what I'm trying to get after. I realized right away when I think reluctantly nodded my head that I would do this, that I'm not a code speak person. I'm going to get the guidelines in the code section and the code stuff in the guideline section. And so my desire for this was to really to have something and have Janice have a very long time to put it in its proper sort of formats. So it got to everybody kind of raw, so the poor prose is my apology. Sorry about that.
Wow.
Talking to the school teachers over here.
My only concern about the uplighting issue is the dark skies kind of approach, that we don't want to be lighting up the skies any more than we have to, because we're already dimming out the stars in too many occasions. And
yeah, you know, I struggle with that, but in a urban area where we're by the freeway, where we're by all the other built environment anyway, and there's going to be 5 and 6 story lights on and buildings up high anyway, we're not going to be able to see but the dark sky.
Yes,
we won't be able to see the starlit sky. We'll be able to only see a dark sky with no bright lights up there at all, except maybe a big moon. I think it is appropriate to create places that we feel comfortable in to be outside, so there'd be intensive pools of light and little lower lit pathways to another.
And I'm all for, you know, landscaping being a sort of, you know, that look of lights and trees at night is a lovely thing. I just want to be careful that we don't create a huge, and I think you've done that in the language, you know, no glare, not going onto adjacent properties, along the facades of buildings, and as you said, it's a business district, it's along the freeway, there's lots of other light, so I just want to make sure that that's attended to, so it's not just adding too much to the existing light that's already there.
I think the city already has some.
What do we do with
it? I think so, yeah.
Guidelines too.
I want this done, but what do we do with it?
Well, so actually it would take place in the next to the very last page in the packet that we were given for tonight's packet. It would kind of fit on the very last page, the inside page 23 of 127. Much of the language is cribbed off of what is here and added on to. The only thing that I, aside from modifying some of this stuff and adding to it, the only thing I really changed would be item D, which says prohibit flood illumination of entire building facades. I really clarified that I do think in some instances you do want to shine light up upon a facade, but not the entire facade and not uniformly. That's Vegas style.
Again, it's kind of like what you're saying about creating pools of light.
Pools of light.
Creating a highlight of light on a building, not the entire expanse of the building.
Exactly.
Kind of like you don't want a searchlight poking up into the sky, but selectively lighting landscape trees is a different issue.
Although searchlights sometimes are cool. All in their right spot. So.
Cool, like Batman.
Works for the Luxor.
So I guess yes, ma'am.
Speaking of the mic, please, Janice.
Yeah.
What is meant by destination facade lighting in the last, in item D, under your proposed?
Buildings work better when they talk to you and say, here's a destination to come in, here's a destination to look at, here's a special place. I mean, people that are really good at building designs, you can look at a building and you very easily recognizable understand where I'm supposed to go in a building. And so destination facade lighting is a pool of light at a destination spot on a facade. It's not uniformly lit across the facade. And you can rewrite this. I guess the comment to you, Janice, is you can add and modify whatever this is an intent of. What I was asked to do is to put some of my words down. But destination facade lighting is, look at me, I'm special right here.
Come or indicating here, an entry.
Something.
Yeah, like entryway? Is that what it is?
It sounds like you're more like talking about directing
well, it doesn't,
toward the entryway or toward a courtyard or toward
some
a,
other feature maybe.
Yeah. Or some other feature to the
artwork,
building, yeah.
Maybe there's some artwork on the side of the building.
So it's a direct
that's all that's meant there.
Special.
I mean, and it could be something that if it's a brick building and they had 20 by 20 carved out in the brick and you wanted a light on that, of course that would be...
That's not a destination.
What's a destination to look at?
Oh, okay.
Visual. It's a visual destination.
It's a visual destination.
Yeah, it's a visual destination. So, and maybe those are the wrong terms for the kind of language this wants to be, because it's the whole theme of the design guideline has a certain language to it. My language is different. I very clearly recognize that.
How about some targeted facade lighting?
Perfect. I mean...
I see, you know, the big red circles.
Targeted.
I know.
Well, let's do it this way. Are we? Is the intent and the theme of John's proposed design guidelines, is that consistent with what we are thinking? And if so, can we leave the editing and minor modifications to be worked out between John and Janice?
Yes.
Does that work?
Yes.
And Janice, are you okay if what I would prefer is for you to put this in the code speak language?
I think just with some minor tweaks, as we talked about.
You're so nice to say minor. That's sweet.
This afternoon and... And also tonight, we could, you know, polish this up. Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I would maybe suggest is on the objectives, keep those short, simple statements and put some of that discussion down in the discussion. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So
and I'm fine with all that.
We can work together on that.
Thank you, Janice.
Okay. Are there any other items that... Does anybody else have any other issues or questions or concerns? And if not, the chair would entertain a motion to that we recommend approval of this with the exception that we're going to have Elsie elaborate on.
Can that be part of the motion, or do you want it as a...
No, you're just saying that we are approving that we're going to recommend this plan with these revisions.
With the change... is that how you want it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me find my page again. I move we approve file 0ON07-00032 of the Lakeview Code Amendments in draft, with the exception of policy L7-1 number C to be changed to say internally lit signs are not located along Lakeview Drive and 60th Street.
Maybe Northeast 60th.
Northeast 60th Street, correct.
All right.
Yes, we need to mention the zone.
Did you mention Lakeview plan on that? Was that anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. All right. Just want to make sure. Right. Mm-hmm. Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion? Any discussion?
That's good work, everybody. This has been a long time.
All in favor of this recommendation, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Hey.
Thank you very much.
Good work.
Good work.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Janice, for all
I would like to personally thank you for your dedication and perseverance through all of this. You did a
professional expertise
job.
And guidance.
It was a challenge.
You had to put up with me.
And patience.
Yeah, we're going to give her weekends off from now on.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
Work on the staff recommendation, or the your recommendation, and we'll bring it before the chair for your approval and take it to City Council.
Okay.
Terrific.
Okay, so that's that. And any administrative reports?
Nope.
Paul, I've got one question for you that's kind of an administrative report. Mayor, we asked for that one code modification, the history on that. Remember that? Okay. Did you check that out?
It's in your packet.
It's in our packet.
It is.
Yeah, and I guess the only question I would have on that is,
where?
What would the what's the effect of that as far as impacts? Is there any? Because I think that's what neighbors were concerned about.
I mean, the effect of the code change?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arterial.
Yeah. Otherwise, they couldn't do anything on the property.
Right, and I think. So basically, it's just grandfathering that those schools
yes,
in.
Yes, exactly. And those locations that already exist,
right,
that are not on an arterial.
And it's not going to pull any more traffic onto the street that was already going to come to that school.
Well,
if
they
change the designation.
Right. I mean, if they expand or remodel, then that the addition could. But yeah, in and of itself, it doesn't. But it would allow for them to, for those two schools to do remodeling, construction activities, additions, and so forth, like any other school could.
But we had already put a limit on the number of students at the ICS anyway, so that's not changing.
You probably know more than I do about that, so I don't recall. Mm-hmm. About the number of students?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
Paul, I have a question. Mm-hmm. By changing it and saying it doesn't need to be on an arterial and a collector, it's grandfathered in, I understand that, but that is all residential streets there. And is that going to allow for more buses and more traffic to go there? The school originally started out as a grade school. People walked there, and then they turned it into a high school, and there were a few cars and things, and now it's international school, and people bring their kids from all over.
You know, I don't know what the master plan, the limitations on the master plan are for that, for the school. So I can't really comment upon that without looking at the file or talking to a staff planner that worked on that. So.
But doesn't this pave the way that they could bring more traffic in?
What it does, allow them to do expansion and remodeling or maintenance. Otherwise, they're kind of in a gray area that they're considered non-conforming because they're not an arterial or a collector, and therefore prohibit any type of construction activity for the schools.
Yeah, so I think the point is that this is something that, I think if we had known about this, we would have gone ahead and wanted to have mm-hmm. weighed in. This sort of came at the last minute. So it's kind of a process issue.
Right, right.
Well, we had thought we had seen the entire list.
Right.
Okay, yeah, no, we don't need to have a public hearing on this, on all of these items. Right. And then all of a sudden this popped up after that, and so the neighbors were not allowed to be informed or to...
Well, there was a public hearing.
Yes, but not... We weren't part of that public
hearing. Yeah, we didn't even know right. about it.
This well, was you brought did, up at that public
know,
hearing.
Right. Notice was sent out. I understand that maybe... The process came after you had looked at the initial set of code amendments, and then at the final action, you did look at everything for your final decision.
Yeah, so that, yeah, just makes us feel like any time we see initial mm-hmm. code amendments, we need to maybe have a planning hearing anyway, because things could creep in.
That's well,
good. They can.
We just didn't quite...
Good message.
Mm-hmm. What?
We you know, it was there. We just
it didn't. Wasn't there when we saw
not
it.
Not the first time.
No, it was.
But the final, the problem was, I think, Paul, that we, I
we didn't
and
know
I'm not sure
been.
I understand where did it come to our attention that there had been that when there was
probably not. If I, and I was involved with this part.
Probably
of it.
Not
until
we
until the final action by Houghton. If I
that that's my worry is that I think the way it came about it was. We really thought that we were just approving what right. had already, you know, been presented, you know, the first
sure.
time around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my problem.
Yeah, it was not brought to our attention that this had been added.
Well, I think if the memo does actually mention that, so.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, if you look at the language.
I don't see that. You said it was in our packets. I'm not seeing it.
What are the problems with my packet?
You guys have a copy of that?
I will. What was the date, Paul? What was the date?
The date of what?
Did you get that?
The packet that you're referring to.
July 13th. It wasn't in your packet. It was in my packet. You did not, the one-page memo from John Regala.
Okay, so on January, so which?
It's a one-page thing.
Right. Yeah, it's this thing. So when did we find out about this?
When it came to you for final action.
When it came, and it was called out as this was added. It was called out. So this was added from when you said you didn't want, it was specifically called out.
Right.
Or was it just come to us, here's those code amendments you didn't want to act on. So.
Yeah, because it said the item was not addressed at previous study sessions, but should be addressed with these amendments.
Well, I think it's really strange that none of us remember discussing it.
Well, you didn't discuss it at the time. It wasn't before you until it came back for final action, and then I guess it didn't come up as an issue at that point. Now, I understand your concern about the process here, and that's a good message that to think about these things, you know, when these do come up. That I think the planning director made a decision that this is important, that need to move forward, and wanted to get it on the docket for consideration.
I think that the fact that it was so important, it probably deserved a little more emphasis.
Sure, I understand.
And make sure that we truly understood what was being added and the significance of it and the potential impacts. I think that's the problem we have, is that we felt like it was kind of snuck through without us having really had the opportunity we had the opportunity, mm-hmm. but it was right at the very end, and we didn't realize that, you know, the significance of it.
Sure.
It was just kind of snuck in. That's not. Yeah. That makes us look bad.
Well, I'll pass that on to the planning director.
Well, it's and the implications of it are not that minor, and so I think that's something that if we had the chance to discuss it, because, like you say, that opens the door for a complete expansion, remodel, and more traffic. And a larger campus than what we had originally agreed to, which had a cap on students, and it had some pretty strict language. So that didn't feel that minor to me to change that.
Is there room on their campus for soccer fields?
I think, and the other thing
maybe
is,
after they get their building,
didn't the neighbors, hadn't they worked out something with this school district?
I was not involved. They might have. I don't know.
I think they
sure.
did, and it's almost like this code amendment kind of pulled the rug out from under them on what they had worked out with the school district.
That's what it sounded like when they showed up to talk about it.
Is that right?
Yeah,
and that's really
kind of fakes right goes left sort of deal, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll certainly pass those comments on.
All right.
We're not picking on you, Paul.
You can pick on me if you
listener.
Want.
All right. With that.
Is this mine?
Meeting adjourned.
Do we have any? I'm sorry. Do we need to do any executive session as far as the selection of our?
Well, we reached agreement.
We need to do an executive
but
session.
Don't we
do
need to do
vote.
Something formal on that?
We need to do a formal.
Oh, I guess right. I guess it was a straw.
So do we need to withdraw the adjournment?
Well, I guess we will adjourn to executive session.
We can do that.
Is that executive session
after our audience leaves?
Yeah, everybody out of here.
All in favor.
We just have to formalize our appointment of the new Houghton Community Council member. That's all. So thanks for pointing that out. It was informal. Thank you, guys. Don't want to have an illegitimate member on the board.
No, we don't. We don't want to do that.
All in favor of those of the person they were voting.
No.
Wait. Right.
These people out.
Yeah, so, go ahead and you can leave it running. And I do need to ask the public to please leave so we can conduct this quick executive session.
Janice, thanks again.
Bye, Janice.
You guys don't have to leave. Staff doesn't have to leave.
Does staff have to leave?
They want to leave.
They can leave. They get to.
All right, so I'm going to say that we're now in executive session.
Very sweet.
We've just conducted interviews of four potential members of the Coatin Community Council to replace Kathleen McMonagall. And after conducting the interviews, we have come to a point of voting. And our candidates are, get them out here, Tim Flood, James Walker, Georgine Foster, and Libby Goldstein.
You do it on pen?
No, we're just going to take a vote. All in favor of Tim Flood? Am I?
We can just make a nomination.
Yeah.
And vote.
You want to do
just,
that?
Yeah, just make a motion.
Very good. I would entertain
I'd like to
a
make
motion.
Make a nomination, Mr. Chairman, that we elect Georgine Foster as our replacement for Kathleen.
Is there a second?
Second it.
Okay. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 All right. Fine. Meeting adjourned.
It was unanimous.
Yeah, let the record show it was unanimous.
You don't have her, are you tired?
I am tired, but I'm not going to miss the opportunity if you guys don't want to go out for a quick one.
I do.
I know that our intrepid serviceman has a strict limit of never if we don't get done before 9, so we better take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, no,
Mr. Goggins. No, no, a deal's a deal. 9 o'clock. Besides that, we can snag Georgine and we can have a little celebration of her.
Maybe. Let's see. She's still out there. Hopefully she is.
She's out there.
No, we can have her by. She won.
Boy, are you mean.
Yeah. Go let her know that.
You should tell her.
Yeah, actually, I should.
Our mics are all on, you know, guys.
Whoops.
Let me get you the official.
I was gone all last week for 5 days.
Okay, we're going.
Business trip to LA. I was in 40
places.
Yes.
Okay. Your wife wants upset. Okay. You're
right, coming, Phil?
Next time. No, I can't. I was gone all last week, and I'm burned out. So I need a little. This is nice because I have a little downtime. I was in 5 different places. I was on four flights.